Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. And it's always lovely to return to Quo, the amazing channeled entity documented by LL Research. You can find on llresearch.org. And Quo, it comes from the same place as the raw material and is a social memory complex of 6.5 density, a combination of a number of different channeled entities that utilize this as a safe means of communicating during these amazing meditation / channeling sessions. We've now explored Quo in a variety of different ways, discussions about the new earth and some of the aspects of the Law of One, talking about gaining access to your guides and guidance. So check out those previous episodes. One of the most popular subjects discussed in these channeling sessions by Quo is love. And it is also discussed as a key element in the Law of One, the raw material. But what does that really mean? They talk about finding the love in the moment and love as almost this intelligent energy that goes beyond just simply an action that you take. Some of the stuff about love is so beautiful and powerful that I kind of tried to incorporate several different sessions and some amazing stuff I found read by Quo on love. So the first one is a group question. It began given on April 2nd of 2016, and they asked, in our question today, we are looking to learn more about the metaphysical dynamics behind love. Ra mentions love in many contexts, including saying things such as, the great healer of distortions is love, and love is the great protector. We'd like to know, metaphysically speaking, how love can do these things such as protect and heal, and how does our experience of love, which may be described as a vibration, relate to the concept of time-space and our experience of time-space. When we vibrate closer to love, our experience of time seems to change. Is there a merging of space-time and time-space in this experience, similar to that of higher densities? And how does this relate to the dynamic of love in the time-space realm? Jim is channeling and says, I am Quo, and we greet each of you in love and in light this day. We thank you for inviting our presence within your circle of seeking. It is a great honor and privilege for us to be able to join you here, for you join your hearts together in seeking the nature of truth. You create a light which is most bright and easily noticeable within the spiritual realms. Many there are who rejoice at your gathering, your questioning, your seeking, your sharing, your very being of who you are. Each a portion of the one creator venturing out into the illusion of third density to find there the love and the light that are everywhere, and yet within your density seem to be so well hidden that many doubt their existence. We assure you, my friends, that when you gather together as you do today, you bring that love and light to the fore, that all may see and share in its sharing of love, of healing, of protection, and of those qualities that you may call the intuitive perception of the nature of reality. For love has made all that there is. If you look upon love as being the primary energizing creating force of the one creator, and that love is that which is the fabric of creation, and you see that unity that is reflected everywhere outside and inside of yourself, for in all places is the one creator. Therefore, you asked this afternoon a number of queries concerning the qualities of love to be able to heal, to protect, to be able to express itself in both your third density illusion of time-space and in the spiritual or metaphysical realms of time-space. My friends, it is possible for you to look upon love and see a force which can do all things, and not just those which you have mentioned, for there are no limits upon love in its basic nature. Love may be seen as the concept of that you may call the Logos, the primary energy or mover of the creation in various portions that you would see as star systems and galaxies. For there are infinite Logi scattered throughout the one creation that are themselves the creation of the one creator. And these entities that you see as the stars in your sky at night and the sun in your sky in the day are doing the work of the one creator in making it possible for the many portions of the one creator to discover not only their own nature as individualized entities, but in the process of evolution to discover themselves as being a holographic image of the one creator itself. Thus, the one creator is able to discover more about itself through the free will action of each of these entities in whose care the various Logi have been placed. So how can the concept of love then, that which you see as the open-hearted sharing of compassion and understanding, of acceptance, be able to protect one, shall we say, to heal one? In essence, these are two facets of one ability of the concept of love that moves from the green ray energy center within each being who has opened the heart in the giving and receiving of love. When you love, you are awakening this same quality in entities around you, in the forces of nature, shall we say, that also surround you. If you can open your heart in the ability to love these entities, those experiences and those qualities of yourself that you see reflected to you by all around you, then you are creating a vibration, not only in your own heart and your own being, but a vibration which you feel for others is reflected back to you from them. For love speaks to itself. Your love and their love is one love. This love then, if you direct it to do so, may provide you with a kind of vibratory incarnation and have chosen them previous to the incarnation in order that you might be able to discover more of the nature of love as it exists within your being and as it can exist as you move further and further into the spiritual journey, into the reunification with the one creator that you see all about you. The love then that moves out from you as a function of your free will to offer it to others then sets up this sympathetic vibration that is able to vibrate in this quality of understanding, this quality of wholeness, this quality of healing, so that it moves back to you and offers to you a sense of well-being, reawakens in you this sense of knowing that all is truly well. That if it does not seem to be so in your perceptions, then there is the necessity for reassessing perhaps your own perceptions within the meditative state. For you are indeed a portion of the one creator. You've accepted various distortions within your being in order to work those out in a balancing fashion. If these distortions cause you seeming harm, disease, or lack of the feeling of well-being, then there is work that you may do profitably in the process of furthering your own evolution as you come more and more into harmony with the basic quality of love that exists everywhere, my friends, most especially within each heart that seeks it. For the love expressed in the intent that caused each to arrive at this place of seeking, for in this convergence, we feel a love reaching out into the heavens. And this gives us a kind of carrier wave into your dimension that we may perform that service which it is our lot to be able to give for your peoples. This love, we would say, is a trans-dimensional kind of energy that is able to cross barriers or thresholds, shall we say, of light that otherwise maintain an existence which is discrete, so that experiences may unfold within separate domains without being encumbered or overridden by experiences which, if they were taken on, would be a source of great confusion to those who are attempting to find their way. It is an unusual or extraordinary circumstance to engage in communications of this nature which cross dimensions, and we would suggest to you that the possibility of this kind of contact is one which is supplied by love itself. When you reflect on the nature of love, then you may say that it is an energy of a high nature, which precedes those distinctions which make individual experiences possible. And in this regard, you may say that love is a concept which has more than one meaning. In that experience which you enjoy, love can be seen as an activity which engages you, and in which you engage, you love one another, you feel loved by another. In this kind of mutual engagement, you are able to participate in a dance which enables you to discover moment by moment, day by day, year by year, incarnation by incarnation, that you are more and more fully that which you love, more and more fully that which loves you. Now, the kind of love which is expressed and experienced by those who are individuated, those who are enjoying lifetimes in dimensions which have been ordered, as you say, by time and space, are those who participate in a kind of being which has its roots prior to time and space having arisen in the first place. It is for that very reason that love itself can be seen as a sort of transport from one domain or dimension to another. And it can also be seen as that characteristic which most clearly and most deeply defines the one original thought within the one original creator. Now, that creator has undergone down through the ages of an infinitely large number of distortions or divisions of itself, separations of itself from itself. And these separations are what we have given the name free will to, for each individual spark or facet or scintilla of the one great original thought is charged in such a way that it will seek again its source. And so seeking will bring back to that source a refined intent of returning to itself. But as this process has been reiterated time upon time upon time upon time, there has been created a system of illusions by means of which it has been possible for these scintillas of love gone out from the source to articulate themselves, to refine their balances inwardly, so that the intelligence of the original love they bring back to that source may be more eloquent, may be more refined, and in that sense, may be more informative. As it happens, the very structures according to which the individual source points of love may be further and further articulated also give the possibility that each of these source points, each of these little logi, such as you are, shall discover themselves to be without love, to be abandoned as entities floating on a vast sea surrounded on all sides by strangeness. And when each of these lost scintilla of love light begin to find within themselves those resources which enable them to make a beginning of a journey back to the Creator, they can learn to give the name love to that energy which fuels them along the way, starting from this beginning and looking toward the end. Now, as a matter of fact, love is of such a nature that it can find itself directed in many different ways and can find itself caught up in many different configurations and can find itself frustrated because in the very manyness of its directions, it can discover confusion. It can lose its way. It can feel that it has no way home. And in this extremity, love and searching within for the end of that resource, which can be its only healing, which can be its only sense of direction, can feel like for the first time it is sounding out depths in the nature of love that have lain long concealed, that have in fact in a way never yet been revealed. And it is true, my friends, that each here has a secret love that is unique to it alone, and a secret love, shall we say, that the Creator, the one original source of all love, longs to have returned to itself as revealed. Now, as you reflect upon this process, it can be staggering to realize that it takes place over eons upon eons of what you call your time. And yet we would suggest to you that there is a sense in which all of these vast eons of time that you undergo through your various incarnational cycles, moving from one density to the next, and to the next, that all these eons of time are in fact as of one instant. For there is a sense grounded in the nature of love itself, in which all time is always altogether. That points to a quality of love which is rather difficult to grasp, particularly for those whose experience is measured out moment by moment, particularly for one who carries a sense of past time as memory and dwells in relation to future time as anticipation and situates the self between past and future in such a way as to suggest that time itself is a fleeting phenomenon, an ever-moving phenomenon. Movement is an expression of energy that itself takes on structure, and these structures have proven to be rather useful in giving context for these intrepid souls who venture forth into the creation, having lost the sense of where they came from, having willingly yielded the primary sense of connectedness to all that is, so that the particular features of being an individual center of love could more distinctly be explored, could be more distinctly refined, could be more distinctly related to other points of distinct loving. You enjoy at present an experience in which the sense of remove from the original great thought is just about as strong as it ever will be. For you all have undertaken a series of lifetimes that have involved the veil of forgetting. The first effect of forgetting is the loss of the sense of who you are as a being connected in love to the whole. And it is for that reason, for you, the experience of love itself generally involves an overcoming of a feeling of being unloved. And it often involves a feeling of engaging in activities that are not themselves of a loving nature. But we would assure you that in the broader sense, in the sense which many of you are now remembering, love is all that is. And that is what is entailed in the realization you come to as you open your hearts. As you open your hearts to one another, as you open your hearts to the entire creation around you, as you open your hearts to your innermost being and find that subtle whisper of a greeting from the one original source, that subtle whisper of hello from the infinite creator, reaching down through the illusory frameworks of space-time and time-space. Why, you might ask, are these illusory frameworks even in place? Why, you might ask, is there a distinction between what you have called space-time and what might be called time-space? And we would answer in this way. We would suggest to you that time-space, space-time is a framework in which you are able to achieve a great deal of focus in working with energies of a very finely developed nature. And by working in this focused way, you are able to gain a kind of penetration into what we would call the unknown frontier of the Creator. The forgetting has been particularly useful in this regard, for there are elements or features of the Creator that have come to light only in view of what has transpired in the realms in which the veil has been operative. You will note that prior to the advent of the veiling, which was itself a possibility that had to be discovered, there were no entities which had undertaken to polarize to the negative. There was no concept of being able to serve exclusively the self, for there was enough of a residual awareness of being connected in the primary energy of love that the complete sense of separation was not even felt as a possibility. So to have not only the possibility, but the actualization of a way of expressing the Creator's love as love of self exclusively was a piece of news, shall we say, brought to the Creator reflecting on a sense of itself that it had not previously had. Now, it is our understanding that love which confines itself to love of self is a love which is, in fact, self-limiting, and which must at some point in its development learn to move past that configuration, and in doing so acquires again the polarity of other love primarily, but something in the meantime has been learned, something in the meantime of the nature of the creation, of the nature of the Creator, of the nature of love has been learned and will be learned more and more as the Creator itself expands in its awareness of what it means to be a source of love capable of differentiating itself into loved and loving, capable of being the one who loves, the one who is loved. And since that capability is grounded in the original creative act of free will, it gives also the possibility of being the one who is not loved, or the one who does not love. In the ultimate sense, love has no opposite, and yet when love is conceived as an activity, it does exist in a world of possible opposition. And so love, rediscovering itself as unity, finds that it is through the overcoming of opposition, through the overcoming of displacement, through the overcoming of a sense of being lost, that love finds a depth previously unreachable within its very self. So it can easily seem to be a paradox that love, in order to be love, has needed to traverse the realms of the unloving, has needed to lose itself in order to find itself. But we find that this is precisely the nature of the creation, as best we have been able to understand. What you call your realm of time-space is a realm which the sense of unity is more prevalent. The sense of being surrounded by love is more prevalent. And it is a place where those who have ventured forth into those domains of space-time in which they work in a more focused fashion may find respite and restoration. In another lecture delivered in 2019, they ask, the topic of today's channeling is how to love that which is difficult to love. And they begin by saying, we thank this group for this rich topic, as there are many ways to approach such a question so central to the third density life. For you are surrounded, immersed, inundated with mirrors in each day and indeed in each moment of your incarnational experience in this realm. Those mirrors, while running the range of your third density experience, are most profoundly found in the form of the other self. Each other self reflects to the self some aspect or image or likeness of the self, so that the self may understand and love and serve more deeply. Some of those mirrors, as your group notes, are more difficult to look into than others. Some mirrors are enjoyable and appealing and attract and draw the self. Other mirrors, as we were saying, reflect to the self not the sought experience of the open heart or connection or ease or balance, but instead reflect to the self limitations of the heart, imbalances within the energy system, and difficulties of vision. What is the measure of these imbalances and limitations on vision? How is it that the difficult other self reflects this back to the self? The index of clear seeing, of contact with truth, of realization of the Creator, is the capacity to love unconditionally. Where that is not consciously known and experienced is where there is limitation within the self. We do not use the word limitation in a pejorative sense, for this limitation is designed to be intentional and productive of the development of will and faith, but it is a limitation within the being. The limitation points to something within the self where the Creator is not fully or perfectly understood. For if the Creator was fully or perfectly understood in a balanced way, then the response to the difficult mirror would be unconditional love. So in facing another self, which is difficult to love, we counsel that the seeker asking itself that question looks within to find perhaps where there is something unforgiven within self. Something not understood or accepted within its being, for as the work of coming into contact with and accepting the 360 degrees of selfhood is done, so too are others loved more fully. We do not say that this is an easy work. It takes lifetime after lifetime, often in the case of your experience, simply to bias the self to seek the open heart in the first place. We commend all who look at a difficult mirror and seek to rise above, shall we say, the knee-jerk patterns, instead to find love in the moment. This intention is a marker of great growth of many miles already behind the self. Many within your illusion are sufficiently asleep that they would not look at a so-called difficult person and seek to use the catalyst being presented, but instead in their slumber seek only to respond in knee-jerk patterns of defense or attack, or of some manipulation of the moment that seeks only comfort. There are no hard and fast rules, shall we say, for successfully loving that which is difficult to love. But we highlight again the power of the intention, the power of meditation, and the power of prayer. And in closing with this instrument, we remind the self that the more fully that the self may embrace the shadow within it, the more that those mirrors, including the difficult ones, will reflect back to the self, the creator, and all things. The question posed is also firmly rooted within the illusion that you now experience, for the nature of love, in its truest essential sense, cannot be met with difficulty. The very idea of an individual or a situation that is difficult to love is one that can only be perceived from the standpoint within a veiled existence. The true nature of love and the Creator, hidden from the perspective behind this veil. Thus, we have spoken much to your question in terms of the work which may be done in the realm of broadening one's ability and capacity to love. And while this work may be found to the illusion, we trust that you shall agree with us that it is work well worth doing. We remind you, my friends, that you are under no obligation to have any particular relationship to any portion of the Creator, be it a situation or another self. You are only under obligation in so much as you choose to open your heart to all that comes before you. And this obligation that you have chosen as seekers of the open heart is quite burdensome, as you have discovered, for there is much from the perspective of the entity within the third density that presents difficulty, closes the heart, and this pain that you have chosen to many of your peers may seem foolish or reckless or dangerous. There are many energies surrounding you and within you, asking you to close your heart to those different than you, to those who hold different ideas, and perhaps more difficult to those who represent harm which may be done to you or those that you love. And thus the heart may close from a sense of social obligation or even protection for the self or for the other self. The scenario may seem from your perspective to be unenviable, yet from our perspective it is quite an exciting opportunity, for it presents an essential lesson and chance for the polarization of consciousness and an opportunity to glean more of the true essential self, which is the Creator and which offers its love unconditionally to all. Without the challenge presented to the self, these facets of the Creator may go unrealized, and thus the opportunities presented by the challenges of love are indeed blessings to your essential self. You have chosen this path of the open heart because we believe that you have felt within you the rightness of such a path. This rightness, however you may experience it, we suggest to you is the call of the Creator who yearns for you. And the creation sings when you respond to that call, for this call is like a certain gravity or a current which pulls at you. And you may find that there is a great comfort in surrendering to this pull and allowing the call of the Creator to pull you to love. Yet the very nature of the creation as you experience it as a third density mind-body-spirit complex is that even in surrender to the Creator's love are challenges presented. For this is the dynamic that allows the Creator to know itself. And your choice to meet these challenges while maintaining a state of surrender to the love of the Creator shines the brightest light upon a portion of the creation that is new to the Creator and is an essential reason for the very beingness of creation. When you find this difficulty in allowing the Creator's love to shine through you, we suggest that you remember that this is a self-chosen obligation to love in every scenario, and remember that this is not an easy task, and it was not designed to be an easy task. That you persist in your desire to love, despite this difficulty, speaks more to your heart than the actual ability to love in the face of such difficulty. My friends, hold that desire close, and maintain the faith that if you persist in your desire, light will shine. And what was once difficult will eventually seem natural. We commend you in your desire and offer you our greatest admiration in the path that you have chosen. In another session on June 14th, 2002, they ask, I feel difficulty in just plain loving so much of the time. What blocks have I created to the love within me? Where or how am I preventing the infinite energy from reaching my heart? What can I do to love and accept my family more? Is there anything I can do to bring healing where it is needed in this family, my father? I'm seem to be very struck in the orange ray concerns which keep my focus on myself. What can I do to finish my own processes enough that I might place that focus outwards and work to actually serve others? Carla Channeling says, we are those known to you as the principle of Quo. It is indeed a great blessing to join your meditation, and we thank you that each has laid aside the concerns of the day in order to form a circle of seeking. It is our great blessing to us to share the beauty of each of your vibrations and to be able to serve as we hoped to serve when we joined the inner planes of your planetary sphere, for being called upon to speak upon such subjects as love and its increase is the service which that which we hoped to offer, and so we offer a thankful expression of gratitude for this opportunity and are happy to share our humble thoughts with you, asking as always that each chooses the thoughts from those that we offer that seem to have virtue and leave the rest behind without a second thought. When we come to the subject of love, we find there are as many ways to approach the subject as there are stars in your night sky, and yet the energy of each star has its center in the one great original thought that created all there is. The expression of discomfort and distress shared by the one known as Giaz is an expression that is very common to those who dwell upon your planetary sphere at this time. It is an ironic truth that before awakening from the planetary dream, the mind of an entity is effectively asleep in a metaphysical sense, so that the discomforts of being conscious and fully aware of the situation around one are muted by the dream of consensus reality. Whereas upon awakening, it becomes obvious that the consensus reality is, in fact, an illusion with a gaudy surface, but very little actual content, and that which before a comfortable sleep becomes an all too sensitized awareness of the seeming gap, that which truly is, in a metaphysical sense, and that which can be expressed by the life of the everyday chores and duties, and honors of being in the human condition. Shall we say, whereas once was able not to question but simply to abide by those suggestions of that which is worthwhile and that which is not, that which is good and that which is bad, upon awakening, there becomes the awareness of the state of pain and difficulty in identifying one's nature, one's goals, one's service, and one's path ahead. The life stretches out before the gaze, full of days that are empty of true meaning and vital energy. Within this condition, there is one hope, one call, and that hope and call is the call of love. For love calls not only within the being, but surrounding and emanating from the being. There is the hope of multiplying by the actions of the self the love that is available to the world without one. And the soul begins to wonder if it will ever find that seemingly secret path through all the twists and charges of the winding road that seemed so straight when one was asleep, but now opens out into an increasingly mazed and seemingly confused pattern of turns and twists and dead ends. Many are the souls that sit upon a rock by the edge of this winding road, alone, feeling dry as the desert, aching for company and yearning for true purpose. And this is the feeling of the desert within this dry time of awakening and getting one's bearings. It often seems as though the road truly does go on forever with no relief from the smallness of detail in the daily landscape of the yearning of the heart for greater and more abundant surroundings. We come to this group this evening with a very simple message, and that message is that this experience of dryness and aridity and difficulty and discomfort is the shell or the husk of the self and the worlds that are fully of vitality, crammed and stuffed with essence, with meaning, and bursting at the seams with opportunities to be of service to the self, to the creator, and to the world about the self. Yet how could eyes that are so open and so aware be missing that oasis of plenty and comfort in the midst of this vast desert of experience? We would move back with each of you, backwards in time and in mind, to a point before birth, before the approach into this illusion that you call third density. Each of you had undergone a process of planning and prayerfully, thoughtfully choosing the relationships that would serve to bring forth the patterns of catalyst, There were those patterns that would engage the self in very precise and intended ways, with certain key lessons that had to do with love, with learning how to love, with learning how to accept the love of others, and learning how to be of true service and how to accept the service of others towards you. Resting in that very supported environment of guidance and planning, gazing at the incarnation ahead, may we say that each of you fell fairly confident that you would not forget your purpose, your dreams, your goals, your hopes, and your desires for learning and for service within the incarnation to come. From that viewpoint beyond the veil of forgetting, it truly looked as though it were going to be enjoyable and all too brief an experience. As this instrument has expressed it, each thought, this is going to be fun. And then that point of view was lost in a rush of coming into third density fully, of beginning to breathe in and breathe out, of experiencing the limitations of the physical vehicle that must be fed and clothed and comforted with sleep and rest in order that it may survive, let alone be of service. The one known as G wonders why the bulk of its thoughts and concerns at this time revolve about the self and about personal relationships. And yet we would say that in each entity's life experience, there is constant and never-ending need for the processes of investigation into the nature of the self and those relationships about one that have been so carefully chosen before times. In each life experience, no matter what the expectation has been beforehand of how enjoyable the experience would be, the illusion itself creates a most efficient feeling of being completely overwhelmed by the ocean of experience. The waves mount upon one another, seemingly without rhyme or reason, and when one is washed upon a shore in this archipelago, that shore may well be created from confusion and unanswered questions. We can only suggest to each of you that this is precisely the position in which you desired to be before incarnation, carefully, studiously, and with great love and compassion for the self. Each of you planned this descent into seeming madness and chaos, not to punish yourself, but to give yourself the opportunity to be lost within the body, the mind, and the experience of being fully vulnerable, fully blinded, fully submerged in this puzzle, which is never fully worked, but which cycles around so that once the puzzle is worked one way, the pieces are tossed into the air and come down to form a new pattern, a new maze, a new puzzle, in order that the incarnational lesson may be viewed once again, and then once again, and then yet again. Again, not to punish, but to provide a continuing classroom in which the self begins to know the self, begins to know the mind and the heart of the self, begins at last to re-find the self in the sense of coming to a new balance in that winding road of love and light. For balance, there needs to be, and it has been your judgment before incarnation, that just these lessons and these relationships would give a rich and varied diet to the soul of choices to make, of puzzles to solve, of keys that unlock chosen doors within. There is concern within the one known as G that there is selfishness within that is causing too much of the concern of the mind and the heart to rest within those knotty problems of self. And yet we would say that this is precisely that concern which needs to be upon the mind of the individual who is young in years, and indeed in a cyclical manner, this process of discovering the heart of self recurs regularly throughout the incarnation. There is no sense of ever being finished. That is a vain and shallow hope that has nothing to do with the soul within. There is not a curriculum which one may learn and then be finished. Rather, there is an opportunity for as long as the incarnation lasts to place oneself in what the instrument would call the refining fire, to allow the soul to be distilled again and again in the distillery of incarnation, so that each time the cycle moves a round of catalyst, experiences, and learning, the soul is more known to itself, more available to the conscious mind, more open and unafraid, more vulnerable to joy and sorrow, and more comfortable in the midst of suffering, as well as in the midst of happy times. Within this cycle of experience, at the very center of self, lies that same original thought of love, which shines out of the night sky from each star. Each soul within incarnation is also a star. Each drowning in the sea of confusion is also a master. And yet the goal is not to remember the masterhood as much as to begin to sense the lack of necessity for understanding. The goal of this sea of confusion is to drive the attention at last from trust in the logic and the sense of the mind and the intellect into the heart, to release at last the demand that the life experience make any certain kind of sense, and the creation of that energy of fearlessness that is able to at last say that I know that I do not understand, and yet I know that I live in a world that makes complete sense. I know that I do not understand the plan, and yet I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a plan. I know that I shall never understand what I am doing, but I have come to know that I cannot make a mistake. Then at last the soul within is free to take that which is this instrument calls the leap of faith, where the meaning and the sense of life in the metaphysical way of looking at it begins only when the leap into midair is taken. The demands of sense and logical neatness are abandoned in favor of the full confidence in the support that comes in midair. Perhaps each of you has seen the cartoons where the coyote dashes off into midair chasing the roadrunner. Finally, the coyote looks down and realizes that he has run out of cliff. And once he realizes that he is running only on air, he sinks like a stone and plows into the ground below. This is the human condition. Yet when it becomes possible for the spirit within to cease looking down, each will find that midair is a very firm support. It is written in your holy works that the one known as Jesus was walking upon the water in the darkness of night in the Sea of Galilee. And when those who were within a boat saw this entity walking upon the water, one of those within the boat started out to join his beloved teacher, and he too was walking upon the water until he realized what it was he was doing. And when the conscious mind took over, the faith was lost, and the one known as Jesus had to reach out his hand. And when those hands met, the one known as Peter was once again able to navigate the water and was able to get back safely into his boat. The daily life is much like this small fishing boat. It is apparent to the conscious mind what is needed. A support is needed so that one does not drown, and yet the soul within, it is perfectly possible to walk upon the water, or indeed to move into the water and breathe the water as if it were air. For the soul within is a citizen of eternity and is not limited by those things which seem to limit the human body, which each of you now experience life from within. To the outer mind, all is this detail and that. To the spirit within, it is a unified experience. Water flowing into air, flowing into stone, flowing into fire. All things transmuting and changing, yet remaining harmonious and connected in a way that is rhythmic and musical. There's a harmony and a dance that is hidden within the folds of the everyday. For there are no boundaries within the metaphysical world, and that which seems most humble and most usual from the outside in is in fact simply one more way to love, one more way to share the self, so that there is no work that is better than other work. There is no service that is more appropriate than another service, but rather there is only that moment in which all that is needed is there, and all that needs you is available for you to touch and bless by your being. How does one find this being within? Certainly there are periods of time in which it is appropriate for the entity to be almost consumed with concerns about the self. This entity was speaking earlier of the concept of critical mass, and it is though within the awakening being there comes a time of critical mass, when that which has been must be laid aside, and that which is to come must be taken up, and is just such a season that this entity, the one known as G, is experiencing at this time. And indeed, each of those present happens also to be experiencing a point within the cycle of the experience of learning, where there is the letting go of the old and embracing reluctantly or enthusiastically of that which seems very new. Such times are times when one must move within more than seems perhaps appropriate to one who wishes to serve others, and yet perhaps we can give you the model of the light bulb, in which the light gives light to others only because it is appropriately connected to the source of power and develops that power in such a way that the filament of that lighting mechanism is activated. An entity is not designed simply to serve others. There's an inner loop of service which is entirely appropriate, which needs to be not only created but maintained so that the filament of self within is whole and perfect and free of blockage, that it may glow with the love and the light of the infinite creator. No matter how much energy is developed and given out from such light, the light itself needs to retain enough power that it may continue to serve as a light. This loop, shall we say, of power within is fed by a self that sees the value and acknowledges the worthwhileness of that self within. Can each see that it is perfectly appropriate to retain some energy for the self? This instrument has often spoken of being transparent to that energy, and yet that instrument is properly empowered. It cannot be a lighthouse. It cannot fulfill those services it is intended for which it took breath. The love that lies within is waiting at all times and in all places and conditions. There is never a time when this love is not resting quietly, glowing incandescently within the heart of self. The love of the Creator dwells within the heart, and it is the self in its concerns that often lead one away from connecting with the self in the search outward for sources of light and guidance elsewhere. And so we would complete the beginning part of this message by suggesting that for each entity, there is a most congenial way to enter into the self through the use of silence and the resting in trust. It is as simple as breathing, as simple as releasing the breath and the energy of striving so that there is a deep breathing in and out that is not stressful, but rather greedy for that life-giving fuel of air that fuels the body and spirit. It is possible to breathe in peace and to breathe out stress, to breathe in light and to breathe out weariness. The key always for this kind of inner work is silence. We would encourage the one known as G to take deep breaths of that infinite love and light, which are always flowing from the source of all things in infinite supply. There is the desire to love, and yet love is already present. There is the desire to serve, and yet by the beauty of being, each already serves. In a 1984 collection of different channelings, they spoke with Latui, who is a part of Kuo, and I liked this. Many of your people, Latui says, think about love as an activity or as an action. Love can manifest in many ways, and in a clear and conscious person, the manifestations of love are clear and unmistakable. However, that is not love. That is a reflection of love. No matter how beautiful the action or how admirable the act, actions are not love, but merely a reflection or a manifestation of the power of love. Love is the force of the Logos, the thought of creation. It is impossible to conceive a thought powerful enough to create this infinite universe, yet such a thought exists, and you are that thought. We do not say that you have been stamped out of a mold, although all of you are love, for you have fashioned yourselves as channels, as vases to hold and offer the delicate flavor of love. Such are you, each different, each complex, each still unmanifested as a perfect part of love. As you attempt to manifest love, never chide yourself because of actions, but only because you may have forgotten to allow your being to fill itself with the unquenchable love within you. In another question, they say, the Confederation's sources stress the importance of seeing love in the moment, any moment. Can you help us by suggesting approaches or strategies for making a positive identification of love when it's not readily apparent? Kuo says, you asked how to make the seeking of love possible in those situations in which it is not obviously present to the outward eye. This, my friends, is a very good question for each of you and for us to consider. for most of the illusion of which you inhabit does not appear to contain much of that quality which you call love. This is not by accident, my friends. It is by design, for each of you took part in the design of this illusion. That part of you, which is the one creator, which resides within all of the creation, has fashioned this illusion in such a way that the quality of love, of total acceptance of another, of giving the energies of your being to another freely without expectation of return, are hidden within each portion of this creation in order that in some way and at some time, those entities such as yourselves that are taking their existence now here in this illusion may learn certain lessons related to love by finding it through their own efforts, those efforts which are put forward each day as you go about your daily round of activities. It is most helpful if you are conscious that what you do in this illusion is indeed the seeking to find love and to give love at all times. There is no other activity which has value in your spiritual journey other than this seeking and finding and giving of love. Those activities which you are busy yourself as a part of your profession, your hobbies, your activities, your leisure time, all of these are vehicles through which you move in a certain fashion to discover love, whether consciously as a conscious seeker of truth, or whether in a manner which may seem to be accidental as one which moves in a less conscious fashion through the daily rounds of activities. All have the opportunity to seek and to find love. As we have said before, this creation is made of love. It only seems to be other than love in order to provide you, shall we say, a challenge that allows you to increase your polarity of positive seeking to serve others by finding the love in those situations in which you find yourself engaged in your daily round of activities. The more difficult it is to find the love, the more positively polarized in every situation in which you are able to perceive it. It is well to begin your day, shall we say, in a conscious remembrance that this is your purpose, to seek love, to find love, to give love, to be love. If you can find a manner in which this is a reminder to you, be it a period of prayer, a period of meditation, a period of reading, inspirational messages, whatever manner allows you to become aware that this is your purpose for the day, it is well to begin the day that lies before you in this manner. We would sum up those words which we have had to offer through the one known as Jim by simply saying this is a creation of love and that you are within the creation in such a way that love is called forth from you. It's quite simple to pose the question of the purpose of the creation by suggesting it is from love and to love that all originates and is directed. But there is inevitably a question that will arise upon the minds of those who seek, and it is, why should there need be in creation of love an effort made to love? Why should there need to be in a creation of love an experience of impediments to love? Why should there need to be in a creation in which love is Alpha and Omega, Source and Destiny, an experience so bereft of love that love itself can at times seem to be the most impossible result, the most difficult task that one can be required to do? And to ask this question is to focus on love as a particular kind of activity in which you can engage. You may engage indeed in many kinds of activities, and it is easy to list love upon a long list of things you might accomplish in the course of the day. There's another sense of love, however, which we would invite you to consider. We have suggested that in the nature of the creation itself, love may be counted as one of the early distortions that permit differentiated experience, that permit individuated souls to find their way, to have experiences in a diverse creation, and to bring back to the Creator the fruits of these experiences. This portion of the nature of the creation we have sometimes called the second distortion. Now, the first distortion in this creation we have called free will, so it may well seem that love is a dimension of the nature of the way things are that comes about as a result of the first innovation, shall we say, in the creation involving the development of free will. Now, to some extent, this is true. To some extent, it is true that love follows upon free will as a possible activity of those who embody free will in relation to one another, and one could say, in a large sense, in relation to the creation as a whole. In this sense, it would seem then that a proper consideration of the nature of loving would require a fuller consideration of what it means to have free will. That is a story in itself, my friends, but it is useful to note that were it not for free will, were it not for the possibility that in creating an infinite number of, shall we say, sparks, of holograms of the Creator, each of which can experience itself differently, the Creator itself would have no possibility of knowing itself in any way that it did not already have prior to the event of the creation. And so there is contained in the concept of free will a potential that strangely enough registers as a not being of the Creator to the Creator, that already suggests the need of a return to the Creator by the Creator so that the Creator may reap the harvest of the creation that has been undertaken so that the Creator may know itself. Therefore, already in the first act of creating, the distortion towards not being the Creator is already at hand. And then we may say, secondly, that the need to return to the Creator is also suggested, and hence the second distortion, that which we have called love, may be seen as incident to the first distortions which we have called free will. Now we complete the picture of the major distortions simply by adding, for purposes of completion, the notion that there is yet a third distortion which we have called light. The experiences which you enjoy have liberally invested themselves in light, as well as insofar as the possibility of those differentiated experiences we call incarnations is predicated upon light having differentiated itself to a very great extent and down through many densities and many diverse creations. To return then to the concept of love, as it is separated from the first distortion, called free will, we would say this. We would say that love comes in a secondary position in relation to free will, only in a rather limited sense, because here is another sense of love, which is prior yet to the sense of love we have suggested as the second distortion. In that sense, can be used to describe a quality of a feature or a face of the one Creator, conceived as completely undistorted, completely unhampered, undifferentiated, unseparated from itself. Unseparated, we say, but therefore in a peculiar sense, unknown. Now this quality of being unknown is what we have sometimes called the quality of mystery. And it is mystery which characterizes as best we have been able to discern the one Creator in its undistorted self. But we would also like to suggest the mystery of which we speak is a mystery which resonates down through every distortion, every facet, and every iota of the creation. This mystery is available for participating in, and to our experience, limited through it may be, love is always the most eloquent, the most searching, and the most fulfilling way of participating in the one central mystery, which is the Creator itself. And so in the infinitesimally articulated experiences down through all the densities, and in manner upon manner of creaturely existence, beyond the wildest imagination of any particular creature, there is available the possibility of taking up a direct relation to the one mystery of the creation, and making of this mystery a celebration of the creation itself, as the Creator is given the opportunity to participate in a relation that the creature has made available to the Creator. The making available of that magical moment goes by the simple name of love. And so when you are able to love your neighbor, when you are able to love yourself, when you are able to love the entirety of the creation with all the shortcomings that you may perceive in it, with all of the difficult people that you may know, with all the flaws which you may be able easily to see within your own self, then you have the greatest gift to give the Creator and that the Creator ever could want. The Creator then becomes known to the Creator, just as when you love someone, that someone becomes known to you in a deeper way than ever could be if the carrier wave of that relationship was anything else but love. Now, in truth, of course, there is really nothing else but love that could be the carrier wave. And yet we may talk about love in diminished capacity, and we may talk about love in more fulsome capacity. The struggle that can characterize your daily affairs can be seen simply as an effort to move that which is diminished into a circumstance or a configuration in which it is more full, in which it is more realized, in which it is more deep. Now, one can easily suppose that it were in that case that in one bright shining day all were able to return fulsome love back to the Creator, that the Creator would stand fully exposed to itself and would know itself finally in its completeness. However, it has been our experience, and once again, we would like to iterate that our experience is limited, that no knowing has ever begun to exhaust the mystery of the Creator or the mystery of the creation. It is truly an inexhaustible source, and that inexhaustibility is something which you may scent in a small way in your experiences of love for your fellow creatures. For when you love your beloved, when you love your wife, when you love your husband, when you love your children, when you love your friends, when you love your groups, when you love your planet, you do so in such a way that it does not diminish that which is love. In fact, strangely, it seems to augment that which is love. And once again, we face a paradox or a mystery, because a mystery which is so infinite and so completely mysterious, which seemed to be something that could not become more itself, that is to say, more mysterious by being loved. And yet it seems to us that it's exactly what happens. It seems to us that the creation does become more, and that the concept of infinity, very strangely, incomprehensibly, is susceptible of becoming more. And more than that, it is of such a nature intrinsically that the orientation to more is a part of its constitution and part of its makeup. So the creation has the Creator that is an open invitation that every creature at every level, in every manner of its expression, to participate in the expansion of that which is already infinite, to participate in the unfolding of that which is forever, the same and eternal. For this circumstance, we can find no better word than mystery. And for the most successful attitude in relation to this circumstance, we can find no better word than love. For it is in any way that you do love, the simple mystery of their being that calls that love forth from you. And when you do love, you bring out that in your own being, which is itself of the element of love. Having done so, you do not find it easier to be that love which we are now telling you that you are. And when you do you find it easier when it comes time for you to engage in an activity, to allow a little bit of that activity to include the love that you have for yourself, to love yourself, to love the others around you that are able to elicit that love from you? That is as great a gift as you will ever be given. To love those that seem to you to be unlovable is, strangely enough, an even greater gift. For when you are able to find in yourself that resonance of love that can reach out to that which does not solicit it, but rather seems on the contrary to reject it, you have inched, however slightly, towards a wholeness of your whole being, towards a realization of your own being as unified, and every such experience of loving the unlovable, every such experience of unifying the ununified is an experience of the Creator finding its lost love, returning home, returning to its source. And in doing so, you give also the opportunity of that other center of being, that other incarnate individual, an opportunity, perhaps, to experience once again, however slightly, an aspect of itself, himself, herself, not previously accessible. And so love heals many a wound. Love bridges many a division. Love offers itself as a possible activity and as a condition of being, which is the very stuff, the very source, the very destiny of the entire creation. We are known to you as those of Quo. At this time, we shall take our leave of this group. We leave you as we found you, in love and in light. Peace and blessings, my friends. Adonai Vasu Boragas. And that is just a couple of the amazing discussions that I have found about love from the Quo material, and there is tons more. Obviously, this is a key fundamental tenet of Quo, and one of the most important lessons that I continually apply is, where can I find love in this moment? How can I be an instrument of love? How can love work through me? How can I give love? How can I increase love? And I start to think about love whenever anything comes up, and I add love into the element as a solution, as a catalyst. It is something powerful. It goes beyond just romantic love. And I know it sounds so cliche to talk about love in the way that we are talking about, but it seems to be a fundamental tenet of this creation. It adds the power that we need to materialization, and understanding this love is key. We are in this incarnation as a lesson of love. We learn these lessons through our family, through our friends, through our loves in our life. And each time we expand ourselves as souls because we are on a journey in discovering this love. And clearly, as Kuo has discussed, and we've discussed in the Neville Goddard material, we are becoming something greater than before. We're putting ourselves through these lessons of love to come out as a greater expression and magnification of this love, which is a part of the one thought of the Creator, so beautifully explained by Kuo. I'd love to know what you think about some of this material and how you are learning the lessons of love. Please put it in the comments. Put a like on this video, because everybody needs to know about love as it's expressed by Kuo in this. It's a beautiful lesson. In any case, all episodes of The Reality Revolution can always be found at therealityrevolution.com. I'm sending love. I'm sending light. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.